Well, good morning, friends and brethren. It's very good to see you here today. Good to have some visitors with us. I'm glad to see you. So glad for you to be here today. You know, darkness is kind of a funny thing. And what I mean by that is most everyone's a little bit afraid of the dark, whether we want to admit it or not. It can be one of those things that just gets under our skin just a little bit. It's the fear of the unknown. It's the fear of what lurks in dark places. And sometimes it's just what our imagination can do, because our imagination can get away with this sometimes, too. You know, several years ago, back on the farm in Tennessee, I spent the afternoon and the evening out on the bush hog, riding a tractor on the bush hog. And when I ran just about as late as I could. It was getting pretty dark, and decided, well, I better get back to the house. And so I decided, instead of taking the tractor back to the house, I was just going to park it in the field, and I would walk through the lane back up to the house, through the woods. And I'd done that before, but it was a little darker this time. And I don't remember again the reason why I decided to do that, but at one point I wished I hadn't. At least the tractor had lights on. I didn't have a flashlight or anything. And when I got walking back out of the field and into the woods going through the lane, of course, the lane in the woods was a lot darker than it was in the field. And it was already dark in the field. And as you get walking through, and you start walking through, you start hearing all kinds of noises and sounds that I'm sure are there all the time, but now you just hear them more. And about halfway in my walk back, I wanted to run. I just wanted to get to the house. And nobody could see me, I thought, so it wouldn't matter if I ran. If I got scared and I ran, nobody would know. Well, except that I'm telling you now, for reasons I'm not sure why. But I couldn't even run because it was dark enough. I was afraid I'd run into trees. And so, obviously, I made it back to the house. There was no mountain lions, and there was no bears that attacked me or anything just like that. Just my imagination. But dark does that to us sometimes. You know, most of us are not just totally comfortable always in the dark. When I got close enough to the house that I could see the lights from the house, I started feeling like I'm going to be okay. It's sort of like if you're traveling somewhere like out west, this might happen to you more. When you go across Nebraska or Kansas or somewhere like that, and you just keep going across Nebraska and Kansas, and it just goes forever, it seems. And if you're doing that at night because you know someplace you're going to stop, and it's just dark, and I mean it's just dark, but you can see the lights of town, if it's a big town, 20 miles away, you can see it. And it gives you hope that, well, that's where we're going. That's where we're going to stay tonight. Light is a marvelous creation of God. We have known light from the beginning of time as God created time. It was God who said, let there be light, and there was, and God said it was good, back in Genesis chapter 1. And sometimes we fail to think about the nature of light, or we get to think about its importance. I mean, its benefits go beyond what we think about most of the time. It benefits us not just with light, but with warmth. And without light, everything would be cold and dark. Well, and really, everything would just die without light. In Scripture, light is used to symbolize the nature of God and to symbolize the character of his children. And we can see the dark contrast between light and darkness in a physical sense. We've got a hold of that. We can see the difference there. But the spiritual metaphor is so very powerful. A couple of passages I want you to turn with me to. We're going to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Often in Scripture, we see the metaphor of light and darkness that's used. And it's used because it is so powerful. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 8, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Okay, so we get a good understanding here of, in the spiritual realm, the difference of light and dark. that we are the ones, if we are children of God, if we are the ones who represent his people, we are taken from darkness to light. Our nature is of darkness or light, and we'll have to determine which it'll be because we have a choice to make. Walking in light, we are acceptable to God. But no fellowship with him is possible if we are walking in darkness, because darkness is not the nature of the Lord. The characteristics of light demands that darkness is exposed. That is the nature of light. You know, if a room is completely dark, if you take this auditorium and the windows were darkened out and the room was completely dark, and yet one person walks in with a light, everybody's eyes would go to that light. It would just stand out. That is the nature of light. And while darkness, you know, cannot be brought into a lit room. I mean, if a room is completely lit up, you bring in darkness, it's not really going to change the complexion of the room. Isn't it interesting the way that works? For us to take on the nature of the Lord, we have to move from darkness to light. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." God's children are those called out of darkness and becoming his people, walking in the light, as John would say, as he is the light. There is life found in light. And the spiritual metaphor is just that. Life is in light. To be God's own, to be his special people, we cannot walk in darkness because God is not there. If we think we can walk in darkness, if we can walk in the ways of the world and be the people of God, if we think that we're fooling only ourselves, because there's nothing in the Bible story that would lend itself to that idea in any way. All of this highlights the very need for spiritual thinking and moral purity. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Apostle John has something to say about light and dark as well, and says it very simply this way, 1 John 1 and verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." Fellowship with God is only possible in the light, because that's where God is. That's where the Son. And to be in fellowship with the Son of God puts us in connection with the cleansing blood of the Son. Light is where we want to be. And so all of this maybe helps us to notice the important spiritual principles concerning our need to be children of light. We've said before, in the physical realm, we can see and understand that light is essential to life. Plants live because of light. You know, there's that term photosynthesis. Now, you know, I didn't make that up because it's too fancy a sounding word, you know, but I've had to study about that. But the idea of photosynthesis is that idea of light, the energy of light being converted to chlorophyll and other fancy components as that brings the necessary nutrients to life. If you take a plant, and perhaps we've done this before, you take a bucket and you set over top of a plant where it has no light, it doesn't take very long at all for a plant to die. Without light, our crops would die, our crops would fail, and so our source of food would be gone. Well, in fact, life itself would be gone in just a short time without there being light. Well, in the spiritual realm, it's just that way too. In the spiritual realm, light is essential to life. And if we want life, we must leave the dark. We're going to have to come to the light. In the book of John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it's interesting to see how the Lord is identified as light. John chapter 1, and beginning at verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, or the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Truly, and indeed, it describes Jesus that he is the light of life, and he brings life to those who walk in the light with him. I am the light of the world, is what Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12. And he was trying so very much to help his disciples see the difference between darkness and light, and that to find the life, that they had to walk in the light as he was. We can walk in darkness, we can walk in light, but the choice will be ours. But we have to understand that life is only found in the light. And the difference between light and dark is a stark contrast. It's like we were saying, if this room was completely dark and one person turned on a light, we would all see that. We couldn't miss that, in fact. Several years ago, when the girls were coming up, they somehow got interested in going caving. And I wasn't too keen about that idea. I just never had liked the idea of crawling around underneath the ground. But in an effort to not look scared, you know, I decided to go with them. And because I wanted to make sure that they were going to be okay, so several times we wound up going caving. I even went without them as time went on. But still, just not my favorite thing to do. It's just kind of interesting to do. But there's always going to be that time and opportunity when you're far back in the caves somewhere that you sit down and you take a break and someone says, let's turn our lights out. So everybody turns off their lights and you have dark. I mean, like black on black on black dark. And you sit there and you sit and you talk for a while in the dark. I don't know why cavers do that, but they all do. And you sit and talk in the dark for a while and you really come to realize that to find our way out of here in the dark would just be nigh upon impossible. Because most caves I've been in, it's not just one cave that goes in, but it's like a honeycomb. You can go up a lot of different passages in different places. How would you ever find your way out? I mean, dark is what it is. And so to find your way in a cave with a light can be challenging, but without a light, even more so. Instincts only take you so far. Sometimes we refuse to see the light when referring to Jesus, because again, he said he was the light of the world. We try to blindly follow our own instincts. I'm afraid that won't get us much farther than trying to grope our way out of a dark cave and finding our way through its honeycombs and following our instincts in that way. It's foolish reasoning to think that we know more than God. And when God identifies light as being good and darkness as being evil or sin, and he calls us to the light, of necessity, then we should want to move toward the light and be a part of that light. In the physical realm, we see how light is essential to life. In the spiritual realm, it's not any less so, but perhaps even more so. In the physical realm, we understand how light is used to warn. I mean, years ago on the railroad, back in the day before radios, a fellow that I know who's an old man now, back in his early days on the railroad, they did everything with lanterns. You know, the train couldn't be any longer than what the engineer could see the guy that in the back, the brakeman, with a lantern. You used lights as a warning and a signaling device. We understand that. You pull up to the railroad crossing today, the lights come on when there's a train. It's a means of warning that way. And we go to intersections, you know, and there are red lights and green lights. It's a means of controlling traffic. And of course, it's a means of warning as well. So light is used to warn. But Jesus is the light that gives all spiritual warning. He has given us warnings so that we can safely find heaven. We're looking at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We begin here in a moment at verse 46. Jesus is trying to help his disciples understand the need, the importance of walking in the light. There were some who, of the Jewish leaders even, some who believed in Jesus, but were still not willing to follow him because, well, they were afraid of the other leaders and that they might be cast out of the synagogue. And the text would say that they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. It was in that context that Jesus went on to say in verse 46, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And then in verse 48, he said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day. It's as though Jesus is giving us a warning here again with lights, that he is the light. In darkness there is no hope. And that he is calling us to the light. He is saying, you know, listen to the warnings. Listen to the teaching. Listen to my words, is what he said. If we think again about Hebrews chapter 5, let's go back there again. In Hebrews chapter 5, we read part of this a moment ago. And what the apostle was trying to encourage the disciples to see and understand is that you cannot walk in darkness. And in fact, he says, you once walked in darkness and made the point of emphasis, but now you are walking in the light of the Lord. You are children of light. And the fruit was evidence, it seems. In verse 13, he continues when he says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I like the emphasis again, that there's darkness and there's light, that Christ is light, and if you're in darkness, you're far from Christ. But it's Christ who will give us light. He is there. He is offering this. He's offering the means. He is giving the signal. He's giving the warning. He's giving the direction on which way we need to go if we will just abide, if we'll just do that. And we cannot ignore certain warnings in life in a physical way. You know, we cannot cross the railroad crossing when the red lights are flashing. You know, we don't go through a traffic light when it's turned red. We understand those warnings. But the Lord's trying to help us to see the spiritual warnings of following the light. As well, we can see in the physical realm, again, how light is used to guide. Years ago, I made a lot of trips out of town and would fly back into Nashville, Tennessee, sometimes late at night. And almost always when you came into Nashville, you made a kind of a circle of the city and you came on the runway from the south. I didn't particularly mind that. In fact, I always enjoyed it at night because you usually got a good view of the city if it was a clear night. And it was kind of nice to see. But one of the things as you were circling around the south side of the city, you would come to a point where I could always see the airport. I mean, I could always distinctly see the runway. And at that point, I felt pretty confident that the pilot could see that too. And so there's some reassurance in that. You know how the lights kind of flash up the runway like that, you know? As we came around, I could always see that. And you would think, in about 2 minutes, we're going to be on that runway. You know, you knew that we were close to home. Light is used to guide. In the spiritual realm, light is used to guide or to draw people out of darkness. We've already noticed that. We have seen that Jesus is the light guiding us from darkness and out of the darkness of this world, drawing us near to him. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Repeatedly, actually, he said that. In light of Christ's gospel, or the light of Christ's gospel, has the ability and has the power to draw sinners out of the danger of darkness. Light draws us that way. When I was a child, sometimes, you don't see this much now, but sometimes car dealerships and places like that used to have those big spotlights that would shine from the sky. Do you remember that? And sometimes I remember my dad saying, let's go find out where it's at. And we'd get in the car and we'd drive off to that. And the light would guide us to the spot, you know, where we were trying to find. The light of Christ's gospel has the power and the ability to draw sinners out of darkness. Christ's light is veiled to those who ignore his word. I mean, we read a moment ago about the light that is found in his word. Some people just prefer darkness, I'm convinced. The light is not seen by those who are blinded by the god of this age, because Satan has certain power. We should understand God's power is greater. The light is much greater than the darkness. We can always see the light regardless of how dark it is. And his light will shine on those who are seeking the light. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning in around verse 3, the apostle again, writing to those who are Christians, is making some emphasis about the power of the gospel and how Christ's light draws us by that gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whom the god of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. To those seeking the truth, God's word is a light, and it will guide, it will draw, it will bring us out of darkness. It has that ability, it has that power. We can see it from far off if we're looking. It will bring us to Him. With the light, we are guided to see right from wrong, and with the direction from the Father, we know that we can be in Him. We're going back to 1 John again. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and beginning of verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. It brings us to an important question. Are we truly in Him? Well, we are in Him when we are guided by Him, when we walk with Him, when we've been drawn to the light as He is the light. And it helps us to see that we understand in the physical realm how light brings us and guides us. In the spiritual realm, Jesus is the light. He will draw us. He will guide us. It is light that provides us with assurance and safety. None of us would be too concerned about walking in the streets anywhere around town during the daytime, but at night we might think twice about that. If it's a well-lit street, we might be willing to do that. It's in the same manner that we find safety and assurance in the life of Christ. Safety because the light gives us the knowledge of truth. That is, the light of Christ gives us the knowledge of truth and the proper path of righteousness. Life and immortality is found in the light. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And beginning at verse 8. 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but is now, has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Indeed, that's what He has done. The light provides us with assurance and safety, with confidence. Assurance to know that eternity in heaven can be ours when we have made the choice to walk in the light as He is in the light. Knowing that sin can be removed. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Eternal life is in Jesus. And to be out of Jesus is no life now or in eternity. Jesus is the light of life. Jesus is the light that brings us to hope and salvation. There is one way to Christ, that is faith that leads to obedience. Obedience leading to baptism, wherein our sins are washed away. The light will lead us there. If we are willing to follow that light, if we are willing to listen to the words of life and light, Jesus has given us that. And he's also given us the choice to decide and determine what we shall do and who we obey. To obey the gods of this world, as the text would say, leads us to walking in darkness and walking in sin. But to follow the light of Christ leads us to God and eternal life. If you need to respond to the gospel of Christ, we're hoping you'll do that without delay, even today, as we stand and sing to encourage you.